It's interesting to note, when we read about Jesus' ministry here on earth, he alternated between preaching to the lost and teaching the saved. And as we look at the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20, it should be the same for us as believers today. At the heart of the Great Commission, we read, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." That's the evangelism part that you and I are called to do. And then the teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, that is, well, obviously, the teaching part that, again, you and I are called to do. So we're called to evangelize and we're called to teach. And this is what Paul here in 1 Corinthians was all about when we read at the end of the previous chapter, chapter 15, in verse 58, we read that when we truly do the work of the Lord, our toil or our labor, as the NIV puts it, is not in vain. In other words, it'll not be empty. It'll not be meaningless. But actually, it'll be productive and fruitful. However, there's a clear danger when we think we are doing something for God, but it's in our own strength, relying on our own ability, and not giving any time prayerfully to how God wants us to do things. Or often, we think that a door has opened when God hasn't actually opened the door for that moment in time. And so it's important that we have God's plan in place when doing evangelism, when teaching. We've got to make sure that it's God's plan that we're fulfilling and not our own, in our own ability and our own strengths. And so it's important that when we have God's plan in place, and look at when we've got a building, when a building gets constructed. It's architects' plans. It has to adhere to various building regulations before it can be opened or used. The church's work for the Lord has to be done in the same way, or else it will be done in vain. We need constantly to seek his word. We need to be continually submissive to his divine guidance and to his Holy Spirit leading us. Because when we do this, we'll build with gold, silver, and precious stone. But when we do it in our own strength, when we do it when we think that we've opened a door that God's opened when he hasn't opened it, what happens? We build with wood, hay, and stubble. And so here in chapter 16, verses 5 to 12, we start to clearly see the requirements that Paul has in mind for dedicated spiritual service to the Lord's work, which we can learn from and apply in our own situation today. The first thing to notice in verse 5 of chapter 15 is this. Paul had vision. Paul had a vision for the future. Remember what I said, how what we're called to teach and to evangelize? Well, Paul had that same vision. He was motivated and consumed to spread the gospel into areas that were not yet opened or where there was resistance. And so he could not help but plan. He could not help but plan and look ahead for ways to serve and to see more doors opening for the gospel. And so here in 1 Corinthians, Paul here is writing, and he's writing this to the church in Corinth, in Ephesus, in Asia. And so here he's writing this, and he's telling them about his travel plans, and he's almost been in Ephesus for 3 years. And Paul wrote this epistle that we're studying, and he probably gave it to Timothy, who he mentions in chapter 16, verse 10, about Timothy coming to them. The possibility was that Timothy brought the letter to the church at Corinth that Paul was writing. But that's a side issue. But we read also in chapter 4, verse 19, that Paul had hoped to come to Corinth, and in fact his intention was to visit Corinth, both on his way to Macedonia and on his way back from Macedonia. But what we discover is that he had to change his plan. And here's the thing to note first and foremost about this particular plan of Paul's. He had a plan to change. It wasn't just random. It wasn't just, where will I go today? What way is the wind sailing today? What way is the wind blowing today? No. Paul had a plan to change. Paul was open to that. You know, when we look at Nehemiah and the job he was called to do of God, did that just happen overnight? That he was going to go to Jerusalem and rebuild the city and rebuild the walls? No, of course not. Nehemiah had been praying in advance, had been asking the Lord for an opportunity. He had a specific purpose. He had a plan in mind. And so when the Lord moved in the heart of the king, and the king was open to letting Nehemiah return to Jerusalem to rebuild the city walls, Nehemiah was ready. Why was he ready? Because he had vision. And because not only did he have vision, but he had started carefully planning and praying this great success that the Lord brought in the rebuilding of Jerusalem. It began long before he left Persia. Look at the many missionaries that we know today. They don't just suddenly wake up and give it, oh, great, right. Africa. Yeah. I think I'll get on a plane and head off to Africa. No, that's not how it works. Mind you, in my 3 years with Africa Inland Mission, you saw a few interesting situations. And you just had to direct them to Thomas Cook, you know, and they could find their way from there, really, you know. But that's not how it happens. Many have been praying for some amount of time. Many have had a burden for either the continent or for that particular nation that they feel drawn to. Many have been seeking the Lord and finding out information about it. Many who want to become missionaries learn. They learn from the Lord. They pray, they intercede, they get to know the people. They perhaps go to the country and find out even more about it. They go to various meetings that the mission agencies have and they find out even more. They collate the information. That was the case for William Carey. He was moved by the spiritual needs in the other parts of the world. And so while fixing shoes, he was a cobbler. And while fixing shoes, do you know what he had in front of him? He had a map of the world in front of him while fixing shoes. And while hammering the nails into the shoes, he would be interceding and praying for the various countries that the Lord was laying on his heart. And often in prayer, he was weeping. He was moved by the spiritual needs. And when he finally got the call to go to India, the Lord went ahead of him. And he was used mightily. Why? Because he prayed. Because he planned with God. He prepared with God. And so he was ready when the opportunity came along. He had vision. But another thing that we see from this text as we move on from verse 5 and look at verse 6 is that Paul had flexibility. Verse 6 states this, perhaps I'll stay with you a while or even spend the winter so you can help me on my journey wherever I go. Having vision is important for each one of us. And that's important that we plan ahead about what we'll be doing and how we're going to be doing it. But we must also be flexible. In other words, our plans should always be subject to the Lord's revision. The future does not always come together the way that we think it should. Our ideas, our ways may not be God's ideas. It may not be God's ways. The open door that we think that we've managed to barge open isn't God's way all the time. You know, I remember when going to Bible college. I grew up in South Africa until 1977. And, you know, I had this notion that I wanted to return back to Africa, and I have a deep love, even today, I have a deep love in my heart for Africa. And when the Lord opened the door for myself to go to Bible college, I was going to say we. I presumed that we'd be heading to Africa once I graduated. I presumed that we were going to be missionaries in Africa. And I presumed that today we'd be certainly not wearing warmer clothes, but we'd be wearing short-sleeved shirts and in our church worshipping the Lord even today in Africa. But you see, that wasn't the open door. That was not God's way. That was not God's will. And yet, I told plenty of people at Bible college, yeah, I think it's going to be Africa. We're on our way to Africa. You know, we had been at the mission agencies. We'd been speaking with them. We'd certainly been praying about it. We sat down with Peter White, our minister. We sat down with the Kirk session. We thought that was the open door. But you see, God had other plans. And it's having the flexibility. It's not being hard-willed about it, but it's having the flexibility to say, I may do this, I may do that, but wherever God wants to send us. So we must not be insensitive to God's way. No matter what the vision that we have, no matter how sincere and, in fact, how carefully thought out as well, because even no matter how carefully thought out our vision may be, or our plans may be, they're not infallible. The moment we become inflexible to God's way is the moment we create a huge barrier and stop hearing from God. Flexibility, can I tell you today, is not a sign of weakness. It's actually a sign of humility. And so we learn here in verse 6, that though Paul had a plan and also a clear vision for the gospel, for teaching and seeing souls won for the Lord, though he had that clear vision to visit Corinth after going to Macedonia, he goes on to say words like, perhaps he would stay, or wherever I go. In other words, if the Lord permits. Paul wanted to be open to the possibility that his plans were not fitting with God's. Therefore, if God saw it fit to change them, and he would, well, that would be fine. It was not that he was indecisive, nothing like that. It actually was that he was submissive and humble to God's will. This, in fact, actually isn't the first time that Paul had a trip amended by God. Let's turn to Acts 15. Acts 15. Acts 15, verse 36, which is on page 1111, 1111 of the Church Bible. And so here, this particular passage is about a disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. But sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take them because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. But you see, what I'm trying to say here is that it wasn't the first time that Paul had to have his plans changed by God. Paul planned to visit the brethren of every city in which he and Barnabas had proclaimed God's word. And you know, Paul and Barnabas were able to do that at some point and to proclaim God's word. And were able to visit most places, except when we read Acts 16, we read that the Spirit had taken them from going to Asia and instead sent them to Macedonia. Paul's plans were like the clay in the potter's hand, ready at any moment for God to mold and fashion into what God had in place for him. And the main reason for Paul wanting to be flexible and open to God's leading was because of what we read about in verse 9, which was a great door for effective work had opened to him, and there were many who opposed him. Paul is seeing before his very eyes a great opportunity in verse 9, but at the same time, many adversaries. Notice he's not saying, there are many adversaries, so I better quit and get out of here. No, he saw in the face of opposition, he needed to stay for God because God was at work. The adversaries that Paul was facing in Ephesus were part of the opportunity. And so he had to stay in Ephesus because it was an open door. How many of us today accept opposition as an open door? Often when God opens a door, we treat it too lightly and don't fully realize what's truly involved when God opens a door. We think that God will make it plain sailing. We think that it will become so easy and that we'll just be able to lie back and enjoy the immense blessings coming from God and that it should be quite straightforward. Ah, why shouldn't it be? And so when it becomes hard, what do? We start wilting. We want to run away. We want to throw the towel in. And we want to do it far too easily. And we become so discouraged by the adversaries that we're facing. Opportunities for the Lord have opposition. And the devil dearly wants us to resign and walk away from the open door that we've walked through. In fact, to understand the situation even better, let us briefly look at the situation of the open door that Paul was talking about here in Ephesus. Acts chapter 16, if you've still got it open. The background to this was that the door to Ephesus was not always open for Paul. In one of the earlier readings, Paul was told by the Holy Spirit that it was not time for him to go to Asia, but instead he was to go to Macedonia. Acts 16, verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region to Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. That's where Ephesus was. And instead, the Lord sent Paul to Macedonia. Paul would like to have gone, but God was not in it. Paul had the vision to teach, to share the good news, to share the gospel. But he had the flexibility, or in other words, was he was open to the Spirit's guidance on the matter. And to being obedient to what God had. As a result, Paul couldn't go to Ephesus. The door didn't open for him at that point to go to Ephesus. It wasn't the time. And if we move on a couple of chapters to 18 verse 26. We we read that God then sent Apollos. Not Paul, he sent Apollos before Paul to go to Ephesus to preach the gospel. And as a result, his preaching was powerful and exceptionally fruitful. The door was closed firmly for Paul to go to Ephesus first time round. But it was right for another man to go, and that was Apollos, and Apollos went. And you know, behind the scenes, we can see God moving in this. We can see God's hand absolutely on this whole situation. Ephesus was not ready for Paul. God used Apollos to break up the hard ground. And that was one of God's reasons. But another was that Paul was not ready either for Ephesus. Paul needed to be toughened up. Toughened up for the opposition that faced him when the door finally opened, when God said, "This is my will, this is the way, walk ye in it, Paul." And Paul got the open door for Ephesus second time round. And how did God do that? Well, God toughens Paul up in a number of ways. When we look at Philippi, when he was in Philippi and he was whipped, he was given lashes, even though he was a Roman citizen. And it was wrong for a Roman citizen to be whipped. Paul was whipped and then he was locked in the prison in stocks. But what happened? He was able to praise the Lord and the Lord released him. The uproar in Thessalonica, the rebuke of the Greeks in Athens. God was preparing Paul for that open door that was going to be coming. All these experiences were needed to toughen Paul up and to give him spiritual courage before the door opened for him to go to Ephesus. And so when God is ready, Paul went in the name of the Lord, in the power of his Holy Spirit, and not in his own strength, not in his own ability, not in his own vision as such that he thought was right for him first time round. And you know what happened? What happened in this city? It became a strategic center for mission. Seven churches during Paul's 3 years, seven churches were planted and founded in that region of Asia. Therefore, behind every closed door, God is at work. Is the door closed for you just now somehow? Then be encouraged if the door is closed, if you feel that the door, you've hit a brick wall and the door hasn't opened for you, for what God has for you. If that door is closed, be encouraged, because it's closed for a reason. And God is at work. Let him get on with his preparation in the situation. And more importantly, let him get on with the preparation in your life. Don't be stubborn, don't be hard-nosed. Be open to right now God preparing you and God working in your life in order that when that door is open, God will use you mightily. Look at Paul in Ephesus. It was a battle from beginning to end. It was not a bed of roses for Paul when that door was opened. In fact, when we read in 1 Corinthians, let's move on to 1 Corinthians again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Chapter 15. Look what Paul says here to the church in Corinth in verse 32. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus for merely human reasons, what have I gained if the dead are not raised? Paul says here that I fought with wild beasts in Ephesus. It was not a bed of roses. It was really, really difficult for him. But you see, this was God's open door. Was this open door eager for the gospel? Absolutely not. They weren't interested in Jesus. They weren't interested in the gospel. Ephesus was full of idolatry, superstition, demon possession, religious prejudice. And that was the open door with great opportunity that Paul writes about here in 1 Corinthians 16. open doors for us today are different. On the surface, our society today may seem somewhat more civilized than Ephesus. I'm not so sure. But one thing I can say to you is that our society today, that is the same as Ephesus society back then, was our society today can't stand Jesus. Our society today is not interested in the gospel. Our society today loves sinning and doing their own thing. Our open doors are varied. But we've got one here in the center of Aberdeen, right onto Union Street. And on a Thursday lunchtime, we have an open door. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. Do you get abuse? Plenty. Saturday night, you get told where to go. Saturday night, you get people telling you, leave me alone, I want to enjoy myself. I want to know nothing of your God. As they seek their next fix of entertainment at the clubs with alcohol, with drugs. Our open doors are where God has placed us in work, at home, with friends. But be aware, you do face opposition with the open doors that God opens for you. You face opposition as you go through those open doors. Remember, if the door is closed, use the time wisely to submit to God's plans, to His will, and His preparation for when He opens that door. Amen.